the golf show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, a couple of golf guys who got out on the links yesterday at our favorite. We'll save that for later on. Sam McKee back in the saddle here with me. You were in the lovely palatial Owen Sound, Ontario last week. We still got you to jump on with us there. So loved hearing you, but I'm looking forward to some more expansive PGA championship thoughts from you because, you didn't get to talk about the big win that we saw from Brooksy. So I'll just say hello and good morning to you. Like we haven't been talking for the last 20 minutes and then we'll start from there. McKee, how's it going?
Good, Gunner. Really happy to be here this morning. I was upset to miss the reaction pod on Monday, but I was golfing as one of the golf show hosts of the golf show would do. This past week has been a joke how much golf I've played. I went to Owen Sound, like I said, played 3 rounds of golf there, came home, played a round of golf with Kipper and Bourne at Lionhead on Thursday. So I had 2 days off. I didn't play Monday. I didn't play Tuesday. I didn't play Wednesday. And then I went to Centennial on Thursday evening after playing with Kipper and Bourne to play with my lovely wife, Allison. And then I went out yesterday morning and played Lakeview with you, had a spectacular time. And then...
And our man Colin. Quick shout out to that guy. Yeah. Loved the rare single that not only is not an impetus to good time, but a good time in and of himself. So just big shout out to that guy.
Yeah, a software developer at Netflix. Pretty interesting job. I was picking his brain a little bit about that. A couple AI conversations.
It was really getting deep. It was on the really course. Nice to have the second most interesting job in a foursome yes. for once. Yes.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I was the guy that's usually picking my brain about stupid sports stuff. I was picking his brain about that. And then I went out with my good friend JD Bunkus yesterday. I played disc golf yesterday afternoon.
I thought you were about to tell me because I think this is Ben Ennis's line. It is the man who cannot be humbled against the game that humbles everyone. JD Bunkus versus golf. should you ever get him out there? I thought you were going to tell me that was happening. Yeah.
So I've had a wonderful week of golf, Gunner. And this weekend, it's just an absolute peach if you have a tee time. Like I'm looking at here on the Weather Network's website. We're getting up to a high of 25 degrees today with a little breeze here, like not much, a nine kilometer north wind. So maybe a little, just a touch of a cool breeze on a 25 degree day,
which we love.
23 tomorrow, just an absolutely perfect day. Feels like 14 right now. So you might have to start with the quarter zip on if you're going out for a morning round, if you're on your way now. So Toronto, we're getting some incredible weather. So if you're a golfer, it's an incredible time for you to go out and enjoy it. So there you go. Enjoy some wonderful golf. Text us where you're teeing it, as always, 590, 590. And we'll get more into that kind of stuff later. But yeah,
you
want to talk PGA Championship?
You might have to wear a quarter zip. Don't threaten me with a good time, pal. You know me. I was born in a quarter zip, but I'm going to be buried in one. It's how I roll. It doesn't matter if it's 30 degrees. That quarter zip is clinging to me for as long as I possibly can. Yeah, let's talk PGA Championship. I'll just put it on a tee for you. Your big takeaway, ooh, obviously Brooksy being back in the winner's circle, but I don't know if you want to give impressions of Oak Hill or if you just want to go right to Brooks, but it's your show. What do you think of McKee?
We'll go and look at the leaderboard a little bit from last week. I thought that Koepka just really separated himself. I thought a lot of guys struggled mightily with that course, right? How many guys even finish under par? 10, 11,
yeah, nine,
was it even
that like
many?
That, yeah.
I, this is a classic battle I have every year with this kind of thing around the U.S. Open time, around the PGA Championship time, when it's like, what do I want to see? Do I want to see this weekend where guys are shooting 12 under through two rounds, or do I want to see guys struggling? Like, that's why I think we all agree that the Masters is perfect, because it's always the perfect final score where it's like, you see lots of sick birdies, but there's enough bogeys out there. Like, just another reason the Masters are perfect.
I know.
I don't really need to get into that, but like, I just thought that for a lack of a better term, one that's used a lot with Brooksy, I thought it was men against boys out there. Like, just the way that he handled that course. And I know that Hovland was flirting with him and was even in it until what hole was that he got into the same Corey Conner spot? 16,
16
or 15?
16, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that Hovland played well, but it's always something with him. It always pops up. Something always happens. And I know it's a bad break, but the guy's been getting a lot of quote unquote bad breaks in a lot of these majors where he hasn't been able to finish the job yet. And it's just having those two guys in the final pair. I was never really worried that Koepka was going to give it up. He's just too steely. And one thought that I did have when after the Masters, when he was whining about the slow play, and I was wondering like, oh, this is just sour grapes. He didn't finish it off. Like, maybe it was the slow play because we saw none of that. Like, you know, I made a couple bogeys in a row there on the front nine to finish, but like we saw none of the complete meltdown that we saw at the Masters. And like, I don't think he would have won the Masters. John Rahm was just playing too well. But I do think that the slow play really did have an effect on him at the Masters. So that was just another one of my takeaways, Gunnar.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say the slow play has an effect on Koepka, maybe even more so than other guys. And you know us, like we've banged the drum. Hey, PGA Tour, hold these guys accountable. But I kind of look at it similar to how I look at big crowds at majors, that this is all part of it, okay? And not to throw a shot at a guy who actually had a really, really, really good week in Bryson, but for a guy like him, who the lone major he has came in a bubble, basically, with no fans there, that's all part of it, and you got to learn to deal with that. And guess what? Things do slow down on a Sunday in the back nine of a major, and wouldn't I love a world where the PGA Tour is going to come in lock, stock, and barrel and say, there is no chance we're letting anybody have slow play here. Yeah, I'd love it, but it's not going to happen. So you got to learn to deal with all a part of that. So I think it definitely could have affected his play at the Masters, but I also look at it as just part of the game. You know, if golf was played in a bubble, Rory McIlroy would have 20 majors, it feels like. But guess what? It's not, because there's other stuff going on there, and you got to learn to deal with it there.
I'm surprised to hear that take from you.
Yeah, I know. You're shocked to hear that. Before we get back, or before we stick too much on Koepka, let's go to your boy Bryson. You surprised that he was there? Because I'm floored. I wasn't as adamant of bet him to miss the cut like I was in the Masters, but I was floored.
Where did he finish?
He finished T4, six shots back of the lead. He was tied with Kurt Kitayama for T4 and Cam Davis. Yeah, three unders.
I was floored. Like, the only Bryson fan on earth, I was in multiple golf pools as you were. I never even considered him for a long shot bet. I never even considered him for a top 10 bet. Like, he was gone. He was out of my lexicon. Never even considered it. But it's just these kind of courses where it's being able to bomb it is a massive advantage. He's going to be floating around. Like, it, you know, like he was able to, like, there's so many of those drives where, you know, they're like, oh, a 320 carry here, like it'll play. You know, you think of that one over the dog, like, I forget what hole it was, where he had to blast it over those bunkers. And if you can do that, you're going to be playing from 50 yards further up than a lot of guys. It's a huge advantage. But like, I just thought that, you know, it really came down to no one having the game to be able to keep up with Koepka. Like, I don't know, watching Koepka on that Sunday, it was just the same guy I watched win the other four ones, where looks so easy, where it's down the middle of fairway, it's in the middle of the green, and his putting speed was unbelievable, Gunnar. The way that, like, it would either be in the jaws or a centimeter to the side where he's going to tap in or for a lag. Like, how many sweaty putts did he even have? Like, it felt like over the whole week. Like, it felt like he barely grinded at all to have it. Like, it never felt like he was 15 foot for par.
No.
Like, it just felt like he was in range the whole time with like these little 6 footers for par, just tap ins. Like, that to me is what sticks out the most, was his putting speed and just his ability to get the ball around the hole in the greens when everybody was struggling with them. Really separated him. He was unbelievable, Gunnar.
The other thing that I think feels different about him for me, and it's kind of crazy how quickly we're back to this, and I don't know, tell me I'm wrong if you don't feel the same way, but he is I'm not going to say the first one, because I feel like Rory did have moments where he felt this way, but he is the first guy really kind of since Tiger, or one of the few guys since Tiger, that it's not about what he's going to do and go win the golf tournament. It's about what him being there does to everyone else. And hey, kudos to Hovland. He held in there better than most. But it was not it wasn't a six-shot lead heading into Sunday for Koepka. He went out there and everybody melted away. And the fact that he just has that aura, that persona of, I'm not a golfer. You nerd losers are golfers. I'm an athlete. And he's just that kind of alpha, for lack of a better term. And it's just a really interesting kind of wrinkle in the game that there's been so few guys that have had that aura about them. Because we always think of Tiger and it's about him, you know, shooting a 65 to win on Sunday. But it wasn't. A lot of times it was just a 68 and everybody else melted away around him because of the pressure of trying to catch Tiger and how perfect you had to be. And it's kind of crazy that after a good Masters and now winning the PGA, I feel like we're all the way back there with Brooksy at these majors.
Yeah, he is fully, like, I don't know what, I haven't looked at the odds yet for US Open, if they're even posted, but like, he's in the top group now.
For sure.
Like, he's got to be in the 14-13 to 1 range as opposed to the 22-23 to 1 range. Like, he showed me that he is fully back. And I mean, we can get into the conversation about the live stuff and the regret and all that, but like, he didn't look like he was regretting anything when he was enjoying himself at the Peas game, shall we say?
Man, a lot of, I'm just going to leave.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, we can. I'm just going to leave this here. A lot of people are saying, wow, he's not blinking very much. Yeah, maybe don't draw attention to it if you're not gonna say why, because we all kind of know why. But maybe don't talk
about
how.
Let's just say this: the drug testing on Liv probably isn't that strict.
If I gotta hear one more person talk about, wow, look at the adrenaline from winning that he's still going on. It's something else. I gotta tell you that's awesome.
The famous clip where he's like clapping
and no blinks.
I've watched that so many times. But like, you can see him go into La La Land and then he's clapping so hard. And then you can see the exact moment where he's kind of like, oh, geez, how long was I clapping for? Like, he snaps out of it. Like, you can see the exact moment. So
he made Brady Tkachuk put the Wanamaker trophy on his head, not just drink from it, but now you, Dumbo, put it on your head. Just perfect.
I really love it. Like, I love that he's like such a sports fan.
Yes.
And like, I respect. Oh, whoa. What in that?
I don't know what that was. was that Ric Flair? That was. Woo! Yeah. That is how Koepka felt.
In a show that never has drops, that really scared me half to death. I gotta be honest with you. My heart is racing.
You were talking about how he's a sports fan. Like, everybody does thing. Yeah. Like, Patrick Reed was sitting courtside at a Knicks game or whatever with the green jacket. But that's just a thing you do. You could tell Koepka, it's hilarious, too, because he's a sports fan but not a hockey fan. Like, the idea of him calling Aaron Ekblad a traffic cone as opposed to a pylon. Like, there's just little things in there. But I love it. And this is kind of related, kind of not. I wanted so bad Matthew Tkachuk drinking from the Wanamaker to be like cursing the Panthers and then they just completely fall apart. But I think it's going to go the other way. They're just touching and licking every trophy they could get their hands on. Then they're going to go drink Lord Stanley's mug.
I like the Panthers, man. They're a great team. I have nothing but good things to say about them. Like, they're so much better than the Leafs. Like, what? Like, why are people still like, oh, screw the Panthers? They beat the crap out of the Leafs. It wasn't even close. So it's fine. Anyways, we'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll move on from the Leafs and the Panthers.
I've been bragging to you for the last 2 days about how good I've been about not getting bogged down in Leafland, and then here I am on the golf show just dragging myself to there.
Got 3 hours tomorrow to cry about the Leafs, buddy.
Oh boy, there'll be a lot of it talking through it. So we talked about Koepka. This was fun. So I went back and listened. We did a show last year at the end of last season talking about how many majors we think each guy would kind of end up with. And Koepka obviously was one of the guys we focused on there. Do you remember what you said?
I probably said 5 or 6.
Yeah, so we both said he would finish with 5. So if Koepka never wins a major again, which we both say feels like he's going to win a lot more, it feels like if I ask
how
you...
How old is he? 32?
32. If I ask you to redo that number now that he has 5... I think I bump him to 6. I don't know that I go much above that, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think after what I saw, like, it's hard to remember what context we said 5 in last year. Like, when did we do that show?
It was,
did he already jump to live? Like, was he hurt?
No,
like,
it was, I'm trying to think. It was right in the rumor stage of it all. So this would have been, actually, I think we did this in April. So it would have been right around Masters time last year, about a year ago.
Yeah. I'd say I'd say two more, probably.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I think I might bump that up to seven.
If I set the career number at 6.5, I'm going to take under, but it is really, really tight. And just for some fun context on that, the you and I were pretty much in lockstep. You thought Rory would finish with 6. I said 5. We both said Spieth would finish with 5. The one that blew me away, listening back to it, I don't know if you remember
Morikawa.
This.
Yeah. I said 8.
You said, okay, you're not that crazy. You said 6. You said he would get 6 majors, which would you like an addendum to that, or you're still riding with that?
No. What is he, 21? 22?
23.
He's a kid.
23,
yeah.
And doesn't get to wear the shirts he wants.
He's 23 years old. He hits the ball like Tiger Woods. He's going to putt at some point, you know? Like, he'll figure it out. I'm telling you right now. I will not change that. But I said Spieth 5? How many does he have? 4?
3. 3. We both. Yeah. Here's what we said. We both seem to agree that he would get one in the next 2-ish years. Feeling a little dicier about that.
And then it's Jack Nicklaus.
Then
one.
We both said he'd get he. And I stand by that. He will.
Yeah.
There is no way. You brought up the idea of Jordan Spieth. I mean, I was about to say balding, but that's already happening. With a pot belly out there.
And a yellow
sir.
Shirt.
And a yellow shirt. A yellow Under Armour. Yes, sir! You'd love to see it. I can easily see that from Spieth. And then just while I have it in front of me, other ones we said. DJ, we both said he was done. And I think we're right about that. And then Bryson, you said he'll get one more. I said he'll get no more. I still feel good about one.
He'll get maybe get one more.
I could see
him saying that. I'm saying that as the resident Bryson fan of the world. I'll say that he'll get one more.
What did you quickly before we move on to the guy who caught foot and mouth disease here this week after being the shining star? What'd you make of your boy Bryson coming to defend Kepka's honor?
Loved it. Loved it. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with lots of blood money, probably, that they're both blood money brethren, where they, you know, they let the blood money flow together, which is fine. You know, they took the money. Like, you know my thoughts. I don't really blame them for taking bags of money. But I loved it. I thought that it got so underplayed in terms of, like, the world of sports. Bryson and Brooks' rivalry crossed over. That was not a golf thing.
No.
That was a... every sports talk show, like that was a thing. Mm-hmm. That interview where he walked behind him and Brooksy rolled his eyes so hard they did a full spin. Like, I've never seen anyone roll their eyes harder. And it's obviously just the live thing that, you know, they're not relevant. Like, Bryson's not relevant anymore. So, like, no one really cares about him anymore. So, but if he had said that in 2019, that clip would have been the most viral thing ever. And now it's just like no one even cares about it. But I like him coming to his defense. He's right. Like, he's talking about 5 majors. Can I read you the list of people that have 5 majors?
You can.
Since World War II? Jack, Tiger, Hogan, Player, Watson, Snead, Palmer, Trevino, Faldo, Mickelson, Thompson, Seve, Brooks.
Pretty good list. You gave that to me via text, and my brain was so broken in the aftermath of Leafs. I was like, Bubba Watson has 5 made? No, okay, Tom. Okay, yeah, that makes
like, that's...
that's the club.
You're an all-time great.
That's
it. You are an all-time great. Like, Brooksy has now solidified himself as an all-time great golfer. It's crazy to have him in that. Like, it doesn't necessarily feel like he should be on that list.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so this was the point I took, and you know, I know you kind of operate in a similar vein, that if you got to talk about something, you try not to listen to other people talk about it until you've given your take to try to keep it fresh. And I thought I was so genius with my "Is Kepka now the greatest golfer of his generation?" It's like, oh no, just every golf pod in the world led with that. What do you make of the debate? Like, him and Rory, you can easily, I honestly don't know where I fall on it, but you can easily just say, look, 5-4, nothing else matters, and Kepka's the better golfer. I think there's still an argument to be made when you look at the career wins, which I don't have in front of me, but Rory definitely has more just total career wins, the weeks at number one, all of that stuff. I still think Rory is the, you know, golfer of his generation, or has the best career from his era guys. But what do you think about the debate? Yeah, I know that shocks you. What do you think?
It's a good question, really. Like, it's a great sports talk radio question. I think they're kind of two different eras. Like, when Rory was dominant on the majors, Brooks wasn't around.
No.
Like I think, when's the last time that, you know, what was Brooks doing in 2014?
Like, I don't think he was on the Euro Tour trying to make his way back over.
I don't think, you know, that I kind of think that Brooks is not that much younger than Rory, though, right? Like, I don't know how old are both of them. I don't have it
Koepka,
in front of me.
So Koepka is 33, and he has 9 PGA Tour wins on top of his now 5 majors. And just quickly pull it
up. I think, what does Rory have? 20-something?
Definitely 20, potentially more. He has 23 wins on the PGA Tour and then 15 more on the Euro Tour. And he is 34 years old. So Koepka's 1 year younger than him, but miles on the body, all that kind of stuff as well.
That's crazy. Like, that is, to me, that just shows how good Rory was when he was young.
Yep.
Right? Like, I mean, he's still good, obviously. He's won the FedEx Cup. He's won tons of non-majors. So, like, he's still obviously really great. He's the number one player in the world for a long stretch, but I think we can both agree that, you know, careers are defined by the majors you win, right?
Yeah. Like,
I think obviously Rory has been more outspoken and better to the media. So a lot of people will say that Rory is the guy because he's nice to them. So I think, you know, probably Rory would be defined as the golfer of this generation. But I know for a fact, if I'm in the back nine of a major, I know who I'm picking to win. Like, you know, I think Rory is a much bigger star, more, you know, worldwide appeal. I think a classier guy in general. So most people would pick Rory, but I, like I said, if they're in the final pair on Sunday at a major and they're going to the back nine tied, I'll tell you right now who I'm going to pick.
That's what it comes down to. I feel that way about Koepka right now. I mean, if you would have asked me that a year ago, as you know, as down as we can all be on Rory's chances, I definitely would have said Rory then, because Koepka was kind of lost in it. And then, yeah, it's just it's
hurt.
It's really interesting.
It shows how injured he was.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was hurt and then he was broken. It's like, golf is hard, you know, like an injury. And we saw him in that Netflix documentary, which, God, I look back on that and he must hate our boy Colin. First of all, shout out Colin on the golf show. Maybe it was him that put those clips in there, but like, man, that is, he must hate the people who edited that.
I told you he would. I actually believe in my heart of hearts, he would give every live cent to just Men in Black that from humanity, so it never happened again. And then he gets to not be a live guy anymore, and I feel like he'd kind of like that as well. So yeah, again, just to lay the numbers there.
Eh? The guy that famously said he only cares about majors, coming and winning majors, and then he'll get to play golf for tons of money and carefree and go, you know, enjoy himself at Pease games. Like, I'm sure he's just absolutely devastated.
Yeah, we can do the debate now or we cannot
do
the debate. Okay, I think that with these guys, that they still will, when push comes to shove, when they all look back on it, they are going to look at the black eye that they brought to the game, that they brought to their own careers.
By making all the superstars mega rich?
And getting into bed with Saudi blood money. Yeah. The whole point of it is to just whitewash the entire. Like, again, like, this isn't a sports conversation. It's like they got into bed with a bloody regime that chopped up a journalist with a bone saw. Okay, like, you don't get to just say, well, you know, money comes from lots of places. You can't do that. And look, if you don't want to think about that, and let me tell you, I guarantee you, Brooks Koepka hasn't thought about that for 1 second. You don't have to, but I do think it is a big, big, it'll be a true or false. It'll be a prominent part of these guys' biographies or little, you know, wiki page when they're said and gone.
It'll definitely be mentioned, no question. But like, I think Brooksy's 5 majors will be mentioned way before that. Like, to me, if I'm writing the Brooks Koepka story, I'm not starting with Liv. You know, like, if I'm writing the Phil Mickelson story, I'm not starting with Liv.
That's where it differs. If I'm writing the Phil one, I think it's pretty high up there. Koepka's always felt throughout all of this with Liv, and you know, this gets into our favorite debate of, is he a 10 out of 10 Liv guy or a 6 out of 10 Liv guy?
He's a Liv.
Here's the difference. Yes, he is.
He went on the most popular sports podcast in America wearing a Smash GC shirt.
Okay.
He's a Liv guy.
Here's the difference, though. Did you see Mickelson's tweet and comments about, this is why Liv is the best? Look at the way it can get. That is a Liv guy backing it. Bryson out there wearing his dumb Crushers shirt and dumb Crushers hat.
God, I want one of those hats.
I know you do.
Sell those, Liv.
I know. That is a Liv guy. Yeah, they need your blood money. Exactly.
Sell it.
That is a Liv guy. Brooks being like 3 days afterwards, eventually throwing the shirt on and getting around to it. he is not proud that he's a LIV guy. He plays there. He's happy to play less golf, but I don't look at it as something he is inherently proud of, the way a lot of, scratch that, every PGA Tour guy is proud to have their PGA Tour card and be on that tour. I don't think Koepka for 1 second is saying, yeah, I'm so proud of myself that I'm a, I don't even know what team he's on, because he would never tell anyone. So I don't know.
He's on Smash GC, which he has, I'm just looking at his Twitter right now, which he has retweeted multiple times in the last couple of weeks. Anyways.
Okay.
He's not proud of it.
I don't think he is.
Listen, it's just all the PGA guys are scrambling to be like, oh, he's pretty much a PGA guy, and he is literally not.
I'm not saying.
Yes, you are.
No,
that's
listen
exactly
to me.
What you said.
I am not saying
like, he's not proud of it.
He isn't proud of it.
He's tweeting about it. He's wearing the shirt. He's playing there.
So why didn't he wear? Why didn't he
out of it?
Why didn't he wear the?
Because
he could not
Nike
buy.
Guy.
He could not buy himself out of it. Do you remember the story that came out that he was going to have to pay a penalty of upwards of $300 or $400 million?
You don't think Brooks Koepka could get that kind of money together? They're trying to get that kind of money together to buy the Ottawa Senators.
There is
Are you kidding me?
Okay, so let me walk. What? Ryan Reynolds is going to be like, I need Brooks Koepka's freedom.
Yes.
I got to buy him out.
Some rich guy.
If
Come
he can't,
on.
No way he could not get himself bought out of that. No way. All right. We sound dumb. Coming up after the break. Well,
we absolutely don't sound dumb. The LIV guy who plays on LIV likes LIV, and he likes the money. And he took the money, and he's maybe one of the best players on the planet that plays on the Rogue Tour, and that really hurts PGA guys' feelings.
If you think it's the same...
That's why they're all like, he's a PGA
if
guy.
You, okay, do you...
Pretty much
do
a,
you think...
He doesn't wear the shirt, so he's a PGA guy. He's not.
You
he's
done?
He's a LIV guy.
You done?
End of story.
No, end not of end story. Of story. Is yes. he as proud as a LIV... Is he...
Yes.
Is he as proud
he's
of a LIV
fine.
Guy as Bryson or Phil?
He's just not a dork. He's not a dork like those guys. He's not a dork. That's what it is. He's not a dork.
He's not proud. I'll tell you he's not. I'll tell you right now
you know
he's
him?
Not.
You know him?
I'll tell you he is way more proud, 5-time major champ, not Smash Factor GC or whatever his dumb LIV team is that he
yeah, but
can't
that's
be bothered.
Those aren't, but those aren't PGA events. Those are majors. And those matter way more.
Okay. Larry LIV is back.
He's got five,
I thought,
he's got
I,
five of them.
I thought. I
more than your boy, Rory.
I actually thought we had pulled you over.
Long live LIV.
I thought we had pulled you over to the light. And here you are just being a reprehensible human at 9:27 on a Saturday morning.
I haven't watched
LIV. So you don't even years. Like it. Why do you care? Why are you defending it if you don't even like it?
Because it's funny. It's just funny to see a PGA Tour guys scramble to say that a guy that plays on LIV is a PGA guy.
No one said he's a PGA guy. We said he is not a proud LIV guy. There is a
the
massive difference
around him. Like, I've seen so many clips of people being like, oh, he's pretty much a no LIV guy through and through. And
I'll tell you
hurts.
Yeah, it hurts me that you're a LIV guy. I thought I had pulled you back to the light.
You that a LIV guy won PGA championship.
No, I actually...
We do not agree.
Yeah, we do not agree. And I'll be honest there. It does not hurt me one iota that Koepka won. If it was Phil or if it was DeChambeau, maybe I'd feel a different way about it. But I don't have to worry about that. Koepka, I feel completely different about it. All right. One of us, depending on how you feel about this, you think one of us is a blockhead at the end of that conversation. And I'm going to just assail Michael Block when we come back here. I said when I did my solo wrap-up pod, no talking to this guy. No interviews, no quotes, no questions, because he was guaranteed to put his foot in his mouth. He has foot and mouth disease. I'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's a golf
you
show.
Said that?
And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf show. Not one golf guy, but two. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee here. Yeah, I mentioned it before the break, McKee. I had the foresight. And by that, I mean, I've been on the internet for a little while to know that a good thing never lasts all that long. To say, do not talk to Michael Block. He's going to ruin it. Now, I'll be honest, I thought this would have been with some like a cringy social take or something along those lines. But Michael Block going full foot and mouth disease. Before we hear from you, let's hear. Let us hear. From everybody's, you know, boy last week to now, public enemy number one in the world of golf? What say you, Michael Block?
So what's the difference between his game on, would you, I mean, you'd assume that Rory's a better golfer than you are?
He's a lot longer than I am. That's what it is.
Okay, so that the length is the big thing.
Oh, my God. What I would shoot from where Rory hits it would be stupid. I think I'd be one of the best players in the world.
How? Really?
Hands down. If I had that stupid length, all day. My iron game, wedge game, around the greens, and my putting is world class.
Oh my God. You're a golf coach. You need to know better than this. My goodness. That is what everybody that, like, we play with guys. How many times? Oh, if I was hitting it from where you were. No, you wouldn't. Guess what? Golf, 99.9% between the ears. And the fact that you're saying that, you don't got it. That is ridiculous. That is and no offense to our lovely texters, that's a text line take. My God, what are you doing, Michael Block? You're supposed to know better.
Can I say that please. I actually never got through the clip because I cringed too hard. That's the first time I've heard the full thing.
It's so bad.
Let me tell you, I almost died of cringe. Okay. Can I just, in defense of Michael Block.
Go for it. Live, Michael Block.
No,
The Menendez brothers, what's next?
I've hated this. I hate this. I really hate that it has become this. But just think about how would you not feel like this after the week that he had?
For sure. You can, like, feel it.
He's doing, how many interviews has he done?
Too many.
Like, at least, what are we, in the 30 range?
Probably.
40 range?
Yeah, no, definitely.
And he's talking, he's sitting down, he's feeling comfortable, he's feeling himself, and he said some dumb crap. And now, like, it used to be that your 15 minutes of fame were, like, you got to be a legend for, like, a little while longer. Like, think about, like, in the magazine era before the internet, or, like, you know, Sports Illustrated would do a thing on him, and he'd be like kind of like this folk hero. Mm. And he'd do one interview where he said that in a magazine,
and they would have cut that out. Yeah,
yeah, or maybe, or they put that in there. And it's like two golf guys read that on their couch, and they're like, you know, that's a pretty crazy thing to say. But it's just like it doesn't really make it around the world.
Yeah.
Now the dumb crap that you say, as a man who has been thrashed by Florida Panthers Reddit. And potentially the Dan Le Batard show, which I've never confirmed, but I have heard from multiple people that they were making fun of our show on there as well. That I know that dumb crap gets around quick. I feel bad for Michael Block because he had one of the all-time great moments in golf.
The, like, dunk ace is, honestly.
The dunk ace was ridiculous. To do it with Rory beside you, did that go in? Like, it's ridiculous. But I will say, almost as more impressive, actually, than that, was the up and down on 18.
Yep.
To get himself back into the PGA Championship next year, where he's way off the green left. He's in the gallery. He makes a wonderful, wonderful shot to about 10 feet, and he dives it over the lip for a par to get in next year. Like, in terms of actual, like, any of us could hit a golf shot that would go straight in the hole. Like, that's just sheer luck. Unadulterated luck. Mm-hmm. That is luck. And listen, I'm sounding like Michael Block. Anybody could do that. If I had Michael Block's iron game, I could do that no problem.
If I had those 2014 TaylorMades with a half pound of lead tape on them, then yeah.
But I feel sick for him because he said this, and now every time you see that clip of the ace, like, I'm not going to lie, it's tainted. It's tainted. It's tainted.
It feels that way now.
The longer we get away from it, sure, when they're showing the clips next year, whatever the PGA Championship is, when we're watching it, and they show Valhalla. Them and then we talk Valhalla, when we're talking about it, it'll be great. And we'll all, but, like, for the next few weeks, next month or so, like, I'm not going to enjoy the clips of Michael Block as much as I did. Like, did you see that, the commercial of him?
The old one? From two years ago? Like, yeah, it's hilarious.
Where he's, like, at the course, and he's, like, he takes away that guy's wife when they're getting married. Yeah. Like, he seems like he has a ton of personality, and he's the best guy ever. Like, he really does. Did you see the clips of his club cheering him on?
Yeah, oh, yeah, awesome.
Like, he's obviously a beloved figure. Guys love him. But the guy just flew too close to the sun, Gunner.
Yes, for sure.
He smelt his own flatulence just a little bit too much, you know? Like, it's just, he got too close to the sun and it cost him, and I feel for him. Because I watched that, I listened to that clip. It makes me want to curl up into a ball and hide under the covers. It's so bad.
If you want some incendiary clips or some quotes, you know who we need to talk to? Because I don't know where I saw it, but it was basically his PGA Championship earnings against the California Tour earnings. And he made like $6,000 playing on the California Tour this year. Okay. I'm sure it's
okay.
What I want to add
$6,000?
No.
On top of your
288.
You know, yeah.
All I want to know though is he didn't win every one of those tournaments. What does the guy who beat Michael Block at one? I'm just as good as Rory. I'm the exact same guy. There's no way. What does that guy think? If Michael Block is saying that after flying too close to the sun, the quotes we would get out of Jim McGee or whoever, that's the least California name of all time.
I was going to say Johnny Wave.
That's way better than Jim McGee.
But who's an old-timey war veteran from the Civil War.
That's right, yes. But if it's the guy who is beating old Blockhead in the California mini tour, dying to know what he thinks of all that. And the other thing is that, and you sent me a funny TikTok about this.
Yes.
Go ahead. You'd set it up. You sent it.
Well, no, I never even really thought of this angle.
I did immediately because I'm a hater.
It was great that like someone sent a TikTok of a guy who was like folding shirts at a pro shop. He's like, you know, any of us could have been Michael Block. He just had a good week. Like the conversations around club pros who are so nasty at golf.
Oh
like,
my God.
Club professionals, like they're just. Like if you're that good enough to be a pro at a course and you're a teaching pro, like you're so good and you're just not even in the same conversation.
We once had an experience where a very odd way to meet somebody, but a club pro joined us for the first like 3 or 4 holes of our round.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that this guy just appeared from the woods with his sticks, I don't really know where they were, and then just proceeded to play 3 or 4 holes in probably 1 under or even golf at the absolute worst. And then just got out of there. And the idea of how locked in.
Yeah, our boy Kyle from Bray Bed, he's like, I got to go pick up my kids. Yeah. And he shot like 200 and left.
And it's like, the mental focus it would take of me to even approach that. And for these guys, it's just like scratching their back. So, yeah, my heart goes out to all of those guys. But also, you now get to talk yourself into, you totally could have done it. You totally could have finished 15th at the PGA Champ.
And, you know. We could talk about. We haven't talked much about the tournament this weekend.
Well, just quickly,
the Charles Schwab. I got to scroll down really far to find Michael Block's name, potentially to the bottom.
How did we not bet him to miss the cut? That was the lock of all centuries.
Listen, like he played okay yesterday. He did. He went 4 over. Like that's defensible. But to go out after you say that the only difference between me and Rory is length and to shoot a 81 is amongst the worst things that can happen to you in the world of golf. Like that is really, really bad. Like I went out and I played with, like I said, I played Lionhead on Thursday with Kipper and Borney.
Yep.
I shot 82. Michael Block beat me by 1. That's not what you want.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, just looking at it now, ton of big names missing the cut. Siwoo Kim, Ricky Fowler, Fitzy, our boy Nick Taylor, our boy Mac Hughes, Jason Day, a lot of boys missing the cut this weekend. So I guess if you're old Block, you could just say, yeah, I'm just as good as those guys too. Honestly, go ahead. What do you got?
You want to talk about Connors a little bit?
Yeah, we should. We absolutely should. He was right there for a major and then it filtered away pretty quickly. I mean, you can go back to the 16, Hovland ended up having the same thing happen, but that's not where it happened. He got it back. He parred out after that. He was fine. Mm-hmm. It was Sunday and we've seen this movie with Canadians before and with Connors, not so much at majors all the time, but we've seen this a few times from him.
Yeah, it's tough because you want to root for your Canadian guys and like we're tight with Golf Canada and we really, really try our best to support Canadian golf. So I don't want to be really critical here, but like, you know, to go I'm looking at his scorecards, go 67, 68, 70. Great, right there. And then to shoot a 75 on Sunday. It's hard to, it's, you know, you got, there's some parallels to draw here that he just can't do it.
No.
And it's the number one thing when it comes down to the mental side of the game. He is elite of the elite ball strikers.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was playing through Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the PGA Championship was breathtaking golf. And like, you can talk about the double, but like you said, he got it right back. He parred out. He was one stroke back. He was in the second to last group going in. Like, you're right there. And he's just, he really seems to have the pressure really gets to him. And I hate to slag on him because he's a good Canadian guy from Listowel, probably listeners of the show. You know, it's just, we got to have the conversation.
So here's what
we wouldn't be doing our jobs.
Here's what I think it is. It's just a guy who all parts of your game can save you at different times. But if the thing that you are doing above your head is putting the ball that you're just above your standards for, and that's what he was through the first three rounds of the tournament. He's putting better than you expect Connors to putt, and that's what it's always going to come down to with him. Because, yeah, the ball striking can get a little squirrely for a hole or two, but guess what? He's such a good ball striker, he can ball strike his way out of problems. When you're a bad putter, there's not really anything you can do about it. You know, I'll give another shout out here. Canadian coach, a guy, Ralph Bauer. He's worked with Hadwin. Hadwin's putting has really taken a big, big leap. You know, I wonder if there's something there. And, you know, no knock on, obviously, all of Connor's team. They're working on it. But you've got a Canadian coach there who's worked with another Canadian guy. It's helped him make strides in that aspect of his game. And it's just the thing we go back to with Connors is that he is the most frustrating because with Mac, the putter's there. So if he's having a week where he's hitting it well, then he can find himself in contention. And the putting is the thing he's most confident about, and it's probably not going to go away. But with a guy like Connors, it's probably always lurking in the back of your mind of just what exactly is there with that. And I think that's what it is. It's just when the putting is what lets you down, it's going to let you down. And it's, you know, to bring it back to Leafs like it always seems to. There's a reason William Nylander is a $7 million player and not a $15 or $10 million guy. And there's a reason Corey Connors is the 30th best golfer in the world and not a top 10 guy. And that's why right there, it flat out comes down to putting. It's frustrating. And he's going to put himself in contention the most of all these guys because of the ball striking, because of his game tee to green. But once he gets up there, it's just, you never know what version of him you're going to get. We gotta go make that trek this year. We talked about it before the pandemic and then the pandy hit. We gotta go out to Listowel this year. Our pals at Dundas Valley, they had us out last year, and I actually saw Mac Hughes was back in town, not this week, but last, teeing it up at Dundas Valley there, where the short course is named after him. So RBC Canadian Open, just a couple weeks away. Boys are getting ready. Connor's game in good shape. But yeah, you have to have the putting conversation.
I'm looking at it's complicated on this PGA website. I don't know how the hell to look up his strokes game putting over the year, but like, it's not good. And if he was average at putting, this guy would be in the conversation for so many more wins every year. And it's so frustrating for him. Like, it keeps him up at night. No question. Like, his putting keeps him up at night. He's a brilliant, rich golf player, guy that's made, you know, all the money, excellent. And his putting is something that really probably phases him big time. So I hope it gets better for him, but like, it's hard to picture him winning a major if this kind of stuff continues. Like, it really is. And I hate to say that, but like, we've seen it now where there's a track record where when the pressure gets on, the putting, and it wasn't even the putting on the Sunday, although he fell down to -3 and CBS was like, see ya.
They could not
see ya. Like, you are done, Corey. We are dropping you from the coverage hard. We're not showing you again.
Yeah, they could not get him off the coverage fast enough. And that's always the most frustrating part of watching a Canadian in a major like that is that, you know, the second they forget stub their toe, just think about stubbing their toe, they're gone. Mack Hughes, his ball went in the tree at the U.S. Open. They might as well have put Mack Hughes up the tree because we had never, we were never, ever, ever gonna see him again there. Yeah, so it's the most painful part about it. And yeah, Shigang, the second a Canadian, makes a, at all a tumble down the leaderboard there. Just a couple other things that I did want to throw out at you. As I said, RBC Canadian Open just a couple of weeks away. Next major is at L.A. Country Club. That's a new venue. Really excited for that.
I don't remember, have they had one there?
Not in 100 years. Like, it's been a really, really long time. So obviously cool. Homa has a course record. I think it's good for him that he's kind of cooled off. I don't know if you knew that. He said
Homa
it.
Homa has the course record.
Yeah, he said it when he was in high school or college or something like that. So
do you know what the number is?
It was 61 or 62, one of the two.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. But hey, Rory holds the course record at Quail Hollow, and that didn't do him all that good a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see. Really excited for that. And then Royal Liverpool, last major of the year, July 17th there. Last time it was at Royal Liverpool, Rory McIlroy winning the Open Championship. So we shall see. I'm intrigued.
Oh.
Big stretch for us. Sorry, go ahead.
We're talking about the RBC Canadian Open here. We're getting really close.
2 weeks.
I'm really, 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 really interested to see how Oakdale's going to do as a host.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's...
It's a really cool course. It's in an interesting spot. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see how they do. And I have nothing but faith in all of, you know, our Golf Canada members and the volunteers and everybody in terms of setting it up. And I'm sure it's going to be a great weekend, but it'll be hard to follow last year. It's like I think I made the comparison of like going up there after somebody on karaoke like sings Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And they're like, she's like, they just crush like I want to be dance with somebody.
Nailed
they
it.
Just like crush that like me. And then you got to go up there and you're singing like Tequila. It's a tough act to follow. So I'm really, really interested to see how Oakdale's going to do.
Yeah, just talking to some of the people on site, you know, seems like the sales pitch there, obviously the golf course in and of itself, but just logistically, they're going to be able to have a lot more entrances. Obviously, we loved everything going on at St. George's, but there's only kind of one or two points you can get onto the course. At Oakdale, they're able to stretch that out and have a few more entrance points, so maybe a little smoother to get in. And then, yeah, look, I mean, we're not going to sugarcoat it, right? St. George's is... You know, outside of Cabot, it's our pebble in Canada. It will always be the dream Canadian Open venue, I think, for a lot of people.
Having played all three.
Yes, that's right. You have. That's right.
Having played all three, if you gave me the choice of which course to play tomorrow, I would pick St. George's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either the Cabots.
Yeah.
The Cabots are amazing, clearly. And I may or may not be making a trip out there next month. But, St. George's is an absolute gem. It's more my style of course. The Toronto City Parkland, like, it's just a beautiful, beautiful track. So it's a tough one to follow.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to see how it shakes out there. Rink Hole looks like they're going to have fans all up and down it, not just at the opening and closing of the hole. So it'll be completely lined. That's going to be raucous atmosphere. Yeah. And I've made this point, too, before when talking about the Canadian Open, but... There's nothing I've been more happy to be wrong about in the world than the rink hole being awesome. I thought it was going to stink.
You said it was bad?
No. I thought it was going to be corny. Heard it before I saw it, I thought it was going to be corny, but it has turned out to be awesome. It's our thing, and it's something that other places don't have. So I just think it's an awesome, awesome wrinkle for the tournament. Rory McIlroy, defending champ, back in a couple weeks. Connors, I forgot what the trophy he won. As the low Canadian, we'll see if he can defend that on
the
it
Adam
as well.
Stanley Award.
Yeah, it's what it'll be. Let me tell you, it's what it'll be called 100 years from now. I don't know what it's called right now, but that is what it'll be called 100 years from now. All right, you're getting out to Lakeview again this afternoon because heaven forbid you go a day without playing any golf.
No, I need a break after today.
I'm living at the range these days. Got a child who's just obsessed, comes home from daycare screaming driving range. So a lot of that going on for me this weekend. Everybody out there on the text line.
You're a regular there.
Oh, yeah, right? I am. I got two ranges I go to because I got to switch it up. Thanks to my man, Derek Brandeo, behind the glass. Sam McKee, always fun doing this with you. We'll be back on Saturday for another edition of the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.